she went. Yes, it's okay to clap. It's okay. Well, as I mentioned yesterday, we have a lot of very talented young people here at the church. And over the weekend, we've been trying to include as many of them as we can. And so, come on, Caleb. Caleb Majeska is going to play for us this morning. After he plays his piece for us, Len is going to come with our scripture reading and prayer. That means all the internet people will get to put a face with Len. Yes. Where's Jeff? Jeff's hiding in the back. Did all you internet folk get to meet Jeff Young? Come here, Jeff.
They didn't get to see you at all.
There's Jeff Young. The infamous Jeff Young. The other half of theology talk right there. So after he's done playing, then we're going to have our scripture reading and prayer, and then we're going to have a trio from the Majeska family come and sing for us before the message this morning. So I'm real glad you're all here.
Exodus chapter 12. If you turn there with me. And we're going to read verses 1 to 13, and then we're going to skip over to 21 and read down to verse 28. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the tenth of this month every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with the water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you will say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered your households.'" So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did just so. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Let's pray. Lord God of heaven, we come before you this morning and we pray that you would help us and our hearts to see you high and lifted up, to see you in your majesty, to see you sitting on your throne, as Isaiah did, where the court of your temple is full of your glory and full of the trembling and the fear and the awesomeness of who you are, Lord. And Lord, we must confess that when we try to envision you that way, it brings fear into our hearts because we know that we are not worthy to come before you. Just as Isaiah said, we are people of unclean lips. Woe to us, Lord. But Lord, we're thankful for this day where your plan was revealed, that you had a plan to reconcile wicked, adulterous people to yourself, Lord, and we just thank you. We thank you for your plan that is foolish to men, but is sublime in the way that it provides a way of salvation for us, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he did not stay in that high and holy and other temple, but he condescended and came down and he walked among us and he lived on this world and he endured the temptations and the dirtiness and the foulness of humanity. And Lord, you saw fit to put him in our hands, and we did what our hearts made us do, which is to kill something that reminds us of who you are and how holy you are and how different you are than us, Lord. And it's amazing that you used that very act of wickedness and rebellion to call a people out, and that you used him to plant life into us. We're thankful, Lord, that you are still in the business today of calling people to yourself and opening eyes and bringing us alive and placing your grace in our heart that we can recognize the amazingness of your grace. Lord, we just thank you for the people who have come from all over to come here to remember your resurrection, that it was sad when Jesus died and But I pray that our hearts would glory this morning in his resurrection, that you displayed your power by bringing him back to life and offering us life eternal, Lord. Please just draw our hearts and our minds and everything up to you and teach us what it is to know the power of his resurrection, that we can walk in this world and be lights, that you could use us to draw more people to yourself, Lord. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness. We just thank you, for without you we would be nothing, Lord. And it's in the awesome, incredible name of Jesus Christ that we pray all these things. Amen.
File that under the category of who knew? Who knew Daniel had a bass voice like that? Wow. Very, very good. You all saw that I had a jacket on, right? Okay. Very, very glad to see you all this morning. I will try to not keep you too terribly long this morning, but this is really what we've gathered for. I have to do a quick bit of house cleaning, and then we'll get to the message in earnest. Yesterday I mentioned that there was a couple driving from Dallas that were a day delayed. Well, they've made it here. Where'd Roger's hiding in the back. And Gayla's over here. Gayla, raise your hand. Welcome, Gayla, to GCA. You'll have to go on the internet to hear what we said about you yesterday.
But we had a really, really good day yesterday, didn't we?
Yes.
What a good day. And we'd like to thank Carol and Ron for taking one for the team here and sitting in the actual front row. Yesterday at dinner, I had a couple of people ask me whether Elder Barney Johnson was promoting the notion that Jesus might have been married when he was talking yesterday. I think that I can speak for Barney here because I know his mind on the topic completely. No, he was not obviously promoting that notion. What he was saying, just so that we're very, very clear about it, is he said in the movies and the books that tried to undermine Christianity, like Holy Blood, Holy Grail, or like the Da Vinci Code, they think that if they can posit the notion that Jesus was married, that that would somehow undermine Christianity. Barney's response to it was, he said, that used to bother me when I read it, and then I thought, you know, so what? Even if they could prove that he absolutely was married, that it would not undermine Barney's faith, because he said he'd still be the perfect man. And then he said, which would just make him the perfect husband. And then all the women applauded. So he was not at all promoting the notion that Jesus might have been married. He is convinced that Jesus was not, because the church is the bride of Christ. And he never took a bride while he was here on the planet. But just so that no one else writes me the email and asks me that question, I thought I would clear that up right up front. Turn to Romans 6 in your Bible.